I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are here today to probably a quickie, though every time I say short ones, I am wrong. So we'll see if I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong this time. Anyway, we're here to talk about homeopathy versus isopathy versus LDI and LDA, just because this can get a little bit confusing. And we want to make sure that we give our explanation of what the how they work and why they can't really work together, ultimately, or the issues that you could face if you try to use them together. So before I dive in with just me talking, this turning into the Dr. Barr show, Jody, is there anything you want to make sure I have context for from the mom perspective or any context you want to provide other moms about this topic before we just let me rail on about all the things?
I think this is going to be the Dr. Barr show because I'm literally here to learn too. Okay. I don't understand all of this quite enough in order to. I'm just going to listen and ask questions whenever I have a question that I think that a mom might want to ask. But you're kind of like out of my realm of understanding, really. Okay. So yeah. I'm learning along with everyone else today.
Perfect. All right. So let's start with homeopathy, which is obviously what our area of expertise is. Homeopathy is not about the minimum dose, although that's an important component of homeopathy. It's about how a medicine is recommended or prescribed. So it's based off of the law of similars, which means that you're giving something to a person that if a healthy person were to take that substance, they would produce similar symptoms, not exactly the same necessarily, but similar symptoms to what you are experiencing in your unhealthy state. And what happens is the small dose of the homeopathic medicine provokes a tiny bit of a response in the body. So it's a little bit of what we call the primary action or the main action of that medicine. Our body pushes back against it with the secondary healing response, which is the opposite of what it would cause in a healthy person. So we get a tiny bit of it in the primary action. Sometimes it's so small, we don't notice it at all. Sometimes we're sensitive enough, we feel what we call an aggravation, but that's just us feeling a little bit of the primary action. So it's this law of similars that is vital for it. It has to have been shown to cause symptoms similar to what you're experiencing so that your body can have an opposite response in that secondary healing response. Does that make sense? So we're not necessarily going to give a small dose of strep because somebody has strep. We're going to give a small dose of something that has been shown to cause the symptoms you have as a result of strep that is similar to the symptoms that you have as a result of strep, in a very small dose so that your body can push back against that small dose with the opposite symptoms and correct whatever is happening as a result of strep. So isopathy is where we are giving the same thing. So homeo means similar, iso means the same. And so this is a part where people are like, well, why wouldn't you? If you know strep is the cause for pandas, why wouldn't you just give strep? Well, not everybody who has strep experiences the same symptoms. That's the whole point of pandas, right? That not only do not everybody has pandas have the same symptoms, pandas is a departure from the typical presentation of strep. And So we're wanting to look at what you experience and a substance that is known to cause similar symptoms in a healthy person for what you are experiencing, not because of what the trigger is, okay? I feel like I need to, well, before I even go into like any of my thoughts about those, and I know that that some people think that using isopathy has helped or that they've have found that it helps them. We can talk about that here in a minute, but I want to see if you have any, is there anything that's not clear from what I just shared?
You know what I was thinking? I was just thinking, so to me, that makes sense. And it also took me many, many years to like make sense of that in my brain, because for a long time I just didn't understand what you were explaining. Mm-hmm. And I think seeing it has helped. So if you're at a place, if you're listening and you're newer to homeopathy, in the middle of homeopathy, and you're still not quite understanding it, I think it's okay, because it's just really different than what mm-hmm. we're used to before homeopathy. Mm-hmm. Just works in a very different way. But yeah, what you're saying makes sense to me.
Yeah. So it's the similarity matters, because when you get something that is similar rather than a specific trigger that you have identified, you are looking at the global picture of your body as a whole, not one thing that your body is maybe hypersensitive to. So we are able to look more at the totality of your case, which is going to address your susceptibility to these atypical presentations or to any symptoms that you're experiencing. It's going to address the totality and the susceptibility at a deeper level because it's specific to you, following this law of nature. So it is not a law of nature that everybody who gets exposed to strep gets strep. One, it is not a law of nature that everybody who gets exposed to strep gets exposed and gets strep gets the same symptoms, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not a law of nature that everybody who gets PANDAS as a result of strep gets the same symptoms. So we're focusing on the law of nature, which is the law of similars, that is repeatable for hundreds of years in this definition in the framework of homeopathy. But beyond that, thousands of years all the way back to Hippocrates, and Hippocrates probably learned it from someone too. So this has been so prominent. That's why it's a law of nature. It's so prominent that it does not, we don't have to understand what the thing was. So people were healing from strep before we understood that bacteria was even a thing, right? So because we follow the law of nature. Mm-hmm. So the more we know about things, the more we try to get more specific and more targeted and all of that. And it sometimes takes us away from these simple laws of nature that can help us heal in a more profound way if we're following that. I do want to acknowledge that some people use isopathy. And what isopathy is we're using the same thing. So it is, I have strep, so I am taking a potentized dilute version of strep. Or I had this medication that I had a reaction to, so I'm taking a dilute potentized version of this medication. That's where we're trying to address a specific trigger that caused particular sensitivity. Some people might see some improvements from that, but they're addressing that trigger. They're not addressing the overall susceptibility to the atypical immune response. And what do we see with PANDAS? Is it ever just strep, Joni?
No.
Have you talked to a single person that it was strep and nothing else?
No.
Never. Because it's not just strep. It's susceptibility.
Yeah.
So you can address the strep with strep, but you're going to potentially reduce the susceptibility to strep or the sensitivity to strep. But it doesn't mean you'll never get strep again, one. And it doesn't mean that you've addressed the susceptibility to your specific reaction to it, two. Because we can get strep even with antibodies, with a fully functioning immune system. We can get strep multiple times. It just depends on the environment. It depends on the weakness of our system or the strength of our system. So that there's a reason that, you know, shingles tends to come up in people who are older, who have weakened systems overall, in spite of the fact that we're carrying around the virus from the chickenpox from the time that we're children. It comes out when we have weakened systems, you know. Or somebody, I had a cousin-in-law who, as she was developing an autoimmune condition, as it was really starting to go off, she got shingles because her immune system is overall challenged and weakened, right? So it's not just about, it's not that you'll never even get it again. It just depends on the circumstances around any exposure that you might have. Yeah.
And this is the question that I really like, and I see the shift, like it's happening, is the PANS community needs to be asking, like, why is it happening? What mm-hmm. is going wrong in the body? And that's the thing that I feel like we all should be going after, is the why is it happening? And why is my child's immune system not addressing these infections the way it should? And it seems like isopathy is just helping with the infections potentially, and maybe getting some relief in there as well. But
from that particular, and yes, that instance of that infection.
Right. And homeopathy is more also standing next to you asking, why is that? Like, what is going on? What is the dysfunction that's causing this? Like, yes. It's a deeper healing and like a different goal.
We sometimes say that A good homeopath is like a toddler that says, but why? But why? But why? Mm-hmm. But why? And so, yes, I agree that we need to be asking why, as long as we don't stop with the lab or the test result or the, because that seems to me where we stop a lot of times. We stop at a lab result, and that's not actually why. It's okay, but why my kid having this versus this other kid over here not? Why, you know, and that's where we have to be open to the why might not have an exact answer yet beyond what we can say about susceptibility and our thoughts about all the things that contribute to susceptibility in the world. So yes, homeopathy with being able to address the totality and not just a specific trigger is going deeper. It is saying, but why this, but why this, and what are we seeing? So we also have to be able to move beyond the why to the what so that we can get to the how, right? So why is this happening in my body? Because of susceptibility. What is happening in my body? I'm having dilated pupils, red cheeks, rage. And so this is what I am seeing. And how do we address this? Well, we give a remedy that has one of those things. And there's a handful that I could just immediately top of mind. And what else is going on in the body that is part of this? Because how can we think that one thing that is happening in our body is not connected to anything else? How can we think that the constipation is separate from the PANDAS, is separate from the migraine, is separate from the eczema? It's not. It's all connected because it's all part of your body, and everything that happens in one part of your body affects other parts. So it's important to remember that it's not just infections that isopathy can address. That's one of the things that comes up the most in the PANS PANDAS community. So if you're using something that is, you know, specific for Lyme or specific for mycoplasma or Bartonella or mold or whatever, you're addressing a specific trigger you might have identified. It never stays with just that. It expands beyond because it's about an underlying susceptibility to an atypical and misdirected immune response. So you're going to keep chasing things just like you would with antibiotics and antivirals and anti-inflammatories. It might help with this one instance at this time of this infection or this exposure. Is it going to help with that underlying susceptibility so that you can have another infection, another exposure, and recover on your own using what your body's innately meant to do, which is to heal itself without any external supports? When we look at things like medications, and yes, I include vaccines and medications. So we look at any reactions that we're having to anything like that, chemicals as well. The response is still part of our susceptibility because it's not the same that we're going to have. So even if you see a medication sheet, the insert, and you see all the side effects that come out as listed, there's like dozens of side effects that are listed. Not every single person who was tested on had all of those side effects. So each of the side effects are going to be unique to the person and what they're more susceptible to. So the side effects that you have from a medication are also going to be part of your susceptibility. Hahnemann even talks about this in chronic disease. So this is something that just addressing through isopathy a particular substance, whether it be a biological substance or a chemical substance or a man-made substance, is not going to address the totality of the susceptibility. It's going to address one particular trigger. You're still going to be looking for a next trigger and the next trigger and the next trigger. So it's isopathy and LDI, which is low-dose immunotherapy, and LDA, low-dose antigen therapy. It's essentially the same thing. They just have different names. They are using low-dilution, potentized substances that are trying to target specific known triggers that somebody has. And the goal is to desensitize you to that trigger that you are having a response to. But again, it's just focusing on that singular trigger. It can help. It can help, absolutely. And we've seen people really share how much of an impact it's made. And I have never seen it lead to a full resolution of something. I've heard a few case reports, but I've just never seen it in real life with any of the people that we've worked with. And I even was curious enough about it that I learned about it. And it just never works the same way that homeopathy does, because it's not individualized in the same way with as much history. And it's not doing that totality. It's the specific target.
I think part of this too is lack of education. Whenever my girls were younger and my mast cell kiddo was struggling so much with food, and somebody told me about, I always mix them up, whether it's LDA, LDI, I don't remember. Like the thought of being like, oh, okay, like we can desensitize her to food. Cool. Like, you know, sign me up. Let's do this. That sounds amazing. At the time, I didn't know that there is a medicine that gave us the ability to impact how her immune system was responding to a large amount of foods. For her, desensitizing her would not have made sense because it was so many foods, but I just didn't know. I didn't know that we had something that could change how her immune system was responding to food as a whole, which was like been a big giant help, as opposed to doing that little individual one at a time. Again, asking a bigger question is, why is the immune system responding this way to certain foods, and how can we change that? And we can change that.
I think the most important and probably final thing that we need to share here in this thankfully actually truly short episode is that I have found that you can't actually use these things together. And there seems to be a confusion that occurs in the body if you're giving multiple potentized medicines. This is why we will oftentimes see some palliative response with things like combination homeopathic remedies, where they're using lots of different remedies that could be useful for helping with a cold or sleep issues or whatever, that you might see some palliative response, but we're not likely to see that specific full body pushback where we're getting the vital force retuned to what it's supposed to be. So what we tend to see happen is that if you're using multiple potentized medicines, even if they're used in different ways, if you're using an isopathy approach for one and a homeopathy approach for the other, the body is still going to have that primary and secondary response. And if you've got multiple things that you're giving just like the smallest nudge of the primary response, trying to provoke a secondary response in, the body can tend to get really confused about, wait, what am I supposed to be responding to? Hahnemann talks about this in his writings as well, that one of the problems with doing a multiple things together where you're trying to provoke that body's the secondary healing response is that we don't know what these random combinations of things will actually cause if given to a healthy person, because it's very different, right? If you give somebody, I'm going to completely draw a blank on a really good example right now, but if you were to mix together, if you were to give somebody water and you were to give somebody phosphorus, but then you were to give them phosphorus in water, you're going to have a very different situation, because phosphorus like ignites as soon as it explodes basically when it gets in water. So that is probably going to be more useful for burns, second degree burns and third degree burns, than something where if you gave either of them alone, right? So it's the combination when given together does something differently in the body than if either thing would cause on its own. And so we're not actually using something with any scientific backing behind it and any studies or provings behind what this particular substance is capable of causing in a healthy person when taken in this specific combination. If we did more of those studies and we had more of that information from toxicology reports, you know, provings that are beyond like real legitimate provings, not all provings are legitimate, then we could use them more. You know, we do use nosodes in a homeopathic practice when we use them in a homeopathic way based off of similars, not based off of the trigger. So for instance, I have responded personally to several nosodes and done really well. It's been part of my healing recovery. I've responded to metirinum, carcinosin, and tuberculinum. And I have never had any of the infections that are underlying any of those things. It's because they've been studied as a part of the exploration of what triggers chronic disease in people. They've been studied in people and gotten truly effective provings done in them. Carcinosin is not as good as some of the others, but we've seen enough provings and then clinical verification that we know what it can be used in that law of similars realm, not in the specific trigger realm. So you're likely, if you're going to try and use these things together, you're likely to see that none of them are going to work as well as they would otherwise. The isopathy, maybe it would still work decently for the desensitization, but you're probably not going to see the results that you're likely to get with homeopathy. And the thing is, if you're doing homeopathy and you have the patience and persistence to see it through, homeopathy will do everything that 10 to 20 other isopathy approaches would do. So with one homeopathic remedy could take the place of 20 isopathic remedies. Does that make sense?
Yes. It just sounds easier. So yes.
It doesn't mean that you will only ever need one remedy. It could take a couple of different remedies to get through to that point. And all along the way, you are healing the totality and seeing a reduction in the overall symptom presentation and not being on the merry-go-round where you're like, okay, now it's strep and I got that taken care of, but now I'm having another flare and it's just as bad. Oh, but now I guess this one's mycoplasma. Okay, now I got mycoplasma taken care of. Now I have another flare. Oh, it's mold. Is it aspergillus or is it, you know, one of the other ones, you know, is which mold is it that you need to take? And if you are putting them all together, and I know some people take that approach where they combine multiple different things, multiple different foods, multiple different viral or bacterial triggers or environmental triggers, and they'll put them all in one bottle, then you get back to that place. So is the body really aware with them as a combination? Is it really picking up the things that it needs to, because it's no longer a singular thing? It's the combination of the things. And some people, I will acknowledge, some people say that it helps. I just have not seen it lead to the full resolution that we're able to get with classical, based in the law of similars, single remedy homeopathy.
Yeah. Homeopathy feels like achieving to me, and isopathy feels like chasing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's, we've talked in the Facebook group, and I believe on the podcast too. We've got so many episodes now, I don't always remember which things we've talked about where. We've talked about the medication merry-go-round, and I just feel like the isopathy approach is a different approach to the medication merry-go-round. Instead of using the antibiotics, you're using the isopathic version of the bacteria itself. But it's still, what about the next time you're exposed? What about the next bacteria? What about the next virus? It's just, you're riding a medication merry-go-round. It's just got different medications on it.
Yeah. Nobody gets out of this without addressing the reason why it's all happening.
Yeah. Nobody recovers. Nobody actually fully recovers without addressing susceptibility to the presentation that you're having, the conditions that you're having, and the specific way it's affecting you as a whole person. And the only thing that really does that is homeopathy. Any final thoughts on this topic?
No, I don't think so. You explained it well.
Awesome. Thanks. All right, guys. We'll see you again soon.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.